الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم The method of attaining a long life Attar's dua O Allah, whoever reads or listens to the booklet The method of attaining a long life Grant them a life of faith, well-being and pious deeds and forgive them, their parents and their entire family without accountability. Ameen. Bi jahi khatami nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of reciting salat. The beloved and final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Send abundant salat upon me, for indeed sending salat upon me is a means of forgiveness for your sins. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد The method of attaining a long life. A handsome groom once visited Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam. The angel of death alayhi salam was present and asked, Who is this young man? Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam replied, He was married today and because of his immense love for me, He did not want to go to his bride without meeting me first. The angel of death, alayhi salam, said, O Dawood, this groom will only live for 6 more days. Upon hearing this, Sayyiduna Dawood, alayhi salam, became sad. 7 months passed after this incident, but the young man did not die. During this time, the angel of death, alayhi salam, visited again. And Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam said, O Malakul Maut, that young man is still alive. The angel of death alayhi salam replied, When I intended to take his soul after 6 days, Allah Almighty said, O Malakul Maut, leave my servant. For when he left Dawood alayhi salam, he encountered a helpless beggar and gave him zakat. That needy person became happy and prayed for him to be granted a long life filled with goodness and to be made a neighbor of Dawood alayhi salam in paradise. I accepted that supplication and changed those 6 days into 60 years for the young man, then increased it by a further 10 years and also decreed for him to be a neighbor of Dawood alayhi salam in paradise. Therefore, do not take his soul before the 70-year period is completed. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. O lovers of the Prophet, We learn many madani pearls from this beautiful parable. Visiting the pious predecessors is a great blessing. People of the past visited the righteous just as the groom visited Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam. Giving charity increases one's lifespan. If the person receiving charity makes a heartfelt supplication, it is accepted. A supplication made by another person in one's favor is accepted. In this regard, it is mentioned in the book Ahsan al-Wi'a li Adab al-Du'a by the father of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh, supplicate with the tongue with which you have not sinned, meaning ask others to supplicate for you, for such supplications are accepted. We also learn that a supplication made in the absence of the person is accepted, as mentioned in Ahsan al-Wi'a li Adab al-Du'a. If someone prays for another secretly in his absence, it is accepted. In our society, the manner of asking others to supplicate is such that unless one's name is mentioned publicly, they do not feel satisfied. Sometimes, they even get upset. On one occasion, an Islamic brother became so upset with me, i.e. Amir Ahlus Sunnah, for not mentioning his name publicly in dua, that he left the Sunnah-inspired religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. What happened was that he gave me a note requesting dua for his sick daughter. However, I did not supplicate for her publicly in front of everyone. When I went to his house to reconcile with him, he said, "My daughter was very ill, and I gave you a note requesting dua, but you did not pray, so my heart was broken." I asked him, "Is it necessary to mention the name publicly over the speaker? Is it not possible that I read the note and prayed for your daughter quietly? It is my habit that whenever someone gives me a note or asks me verbally, I pray for them quietly because a prayer made for a Muslim in their absence is accepted quickly. Therefore, if you ever give someone a note or ask them verbally for prayers and they do not pray in front of you, do not assume that they did not pray at all. Remember, if you give someone a note requesting dua and they do not pray, they are not sinful. Giving someone a note does not make it compulsory upon them to pray. However, if they do pray for you, it is a favor from them. Understand it this way. If someone asks me to pray for them and I do not pray deliberately or forgetfully, I will not be sinful according to Sharia. However, if I do pray, it will benefit me in the hereafter, because dua is an act of worship. In fact, it is the essence of worship. As the hadith states, "Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah," i.e. dua is the essence of worship. O lovers of the Prophet, if someone asks you to pray for them, then make dua. When some Islamic brothers are asked for prayers, they respond, "We are not worthy of making dua because we are sinners." However, one narration states, "Pray with the tongue with which you have not sinned," i.e. ask someone else to pray for you. A person may commit many sins with his own tongue, such as backbiting, tale-bearing, lying, using bad language and hurting others. However, another person's tongue is pure with respect to him because he has not committed sins with that person's tongue. Therefore, when a prayer is made for him with that pure tongue, it will be accepted quickly. For those who say that they are not worthy of praying for others because they are sinners, know that when we greet each other with salam, this is a supplication. Similarly, at the end of salah, we say, "Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah," i.e. peace and the mercy of Allah Almighty be upon you. This is also a prayer. It is mustahab, i.e. recommended, that when a person turns his head to the right and left at the end of congregational prayer, he intends to greet the worshippers and angels on both sides. If we can make the intention of greeting the angels during salah and pray for them, even though angels are infallible, why can we not pray for ordinary Muslims? Giving wealth in the path of Allah Almighty prolongs one's life. Dear Islamic brothers, you heard at the beginning of the speech that the groom who visited Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam gave his zakat to a poor man on his way back and made him happy. The poor man then supplicated for him to be granted a long life with goodness and to become a neighbor of Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam in paradise. Allah Almighty accepted the poor man's prayer. Thereafter, the groom whose life was about to end, who only had 6 days of happiness remaining, was granted an additional 70 years of life. He was also granted the neighborhood of Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam in the hereafter. This shows that giving in the way of Allah Almighty increases one's lifespan. Furthermore, if a poor person is made happy and they pray, their prayer is accepted. We also learn that when someone visits a pious elder with proper etiquette, it pleases him, just as Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam was pleased with the groom. This is why he became sad when he heard the groom only had 6 days of life left. We further learn that loving the righteous, maintaining a connection with them, and staying in their company certainly brings blessings and benefits in this world and the hereafter. This is exactly how the groom who loved Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam received his blessings. The Holy Quran also commands us to remain in the company of the righteous. Verse 119 of Surah At-Tawbah, Part 11 states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O believers, fear Allah and stay with the truthful. Clearly, the truthful here refers to the people of Allah, the righteous who are accepted in His court. Furthermore, a hadith states, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A person will be with the one whom he loves on the day of judgment. A good movement of the righteous. O lovers of the Prophet, Dawat-e-Islami is a good organization of righteous people. Whoever joins this organization, Alhamdulillah, becomes righteous and helps others become pious too. Sadly, when someone leaves this religious organization, they sometimes lose their good qualities. For example, they may become lazy in offering prayers and negligent in acting upon the sunnah. The imama sharif, i.e. the turban, may be removed from their head, and Allah forbid, the beard may be removed too. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami teaches love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and attaches us to his covering of mercy. Remember, even if you become upset with any responsible member of Dawat-e-Islami at any level, do not leave this movement under any circumstances. Have the mindset that Dawat-e-Islami is my organization and no power in the world can separate me from this beloved organization. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami is the largest organization of the people of truth in the entire world. Remain truly affiliated with Dawat-e-Islami and continue serving the religion according to its method. If you do not hold any responsibility in its religious activities, or you do not know how to deliver a speech, or you cannot wear the imama sharif, or keep long hair according to the sunnah, it does not matter. Simply begin by delivering a dars from the book Fizan-e Sunnat in your home. Insha'Allah, you will witness its blessings yourself. As encouragement in this regard, here is a spiritually uplifting parable. The blessing of home dars. The family of an Islamic brother from Akola, Maharashtra, India, had fallen into sinful actions and corrupt beliefs due to their association with deviant sects. One day, all the family members were busy watching TV together. Their 17-year-old younger brother, who had started attending the Sunnah-inspired gatherings of Dawat-e-Islami, entered the room walking backwards with his back was towards the TV. He took something from the cupboard and left in the same way. Seeing this strange behavior, the elder brother shouted angrily, "Have you lost your mind? Why are you behaving childishly today?" Without replying, the younger brother went to another room. Their mother explained, "He told me that he made a promise that he will never look at the TV from now on." Due to anger, the elder brother stopped speaking to him. The younger brother then gathered the household and delivered a dars from the book Fizan-e Sunnat. The elder brother did not sit with the family at first. One day, however, he sat nearby to listen to what was being said. He liked it very much and joined the home dars every day. Gradually, the darkness of his heart began to fade, and he started attending the weekly Sunnah-inspired gatherings of Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah, he came to his senses, freed himself from the company of the people with corrupt beliefs, adorned his face with a beard, and instead of listening to the tapes of misguided speakers, which he used to enjoy, he began listening to the Sunnah-inspired speeches released by Maktabatul Madinah. O lovers of the Prophet, if you cannot perform other religious activities of Da'wat-e Islami, then at least deliver a daily dars in your home from the chapters of Fizan-e Sunnat, such as the excellence of hunger, blessings of Bismillah, blessings of Ramadan, backbiting, and call to righteousness. If you do not know how to read, it is fine. Ask your siblings, parents, or any other family member to deliver the dars. Keep in mind that it is not necessary for the dars to be lengthy in relation to the 7 letters of Bismillah. 7 minutes are enough. If all the family members can gather after the Fajr prayer, deliver it at this time. Otherwise, deliver it after lunch or tea when everyone is together. If everyone does not sit to listen, it is not a problem. Deliver it to even one person. If you are sincere, someone in the family will surely feel compassion and sit to listen. However, if you laugh loudly or scold those who do not listen, then hardly anyone will be willing to sit. In fact, you may even become sinful in such a case. Remember, it is not fard, i.e. obligatory, or wajib, i.e. compulsory, upon family members to listen to your dars. Therefore, deliver it with seriousness and without hurting anyone's feelings. Insha'Allah, the hearts of your family members will soften through its blessings, especially the mother who is the head of the household. She will not only listen herself, but also gather other family members too. In this way, your home dars will continue successfully. Encouragement for home dars is given in the Pious Deeds booklet. But despite this, Islamic brothers become lazy in this matter. Those who show laziness in conducting home dars are often not granted permission by their families to travel in qafilas. If you start home dars, insha'Allah, your family will be satisfied with you and the paths for traveling in qafilas will open. Attar's Dua. O Allah Almighty, grant the Islamic brothers and sisters and myself who deliver home dars proximity to your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. Also, accept this prayer for everyone who remains connected to the religious environment of Da'wat-e Islami and gives home dars for as long as they live. Ameen. Bi jahi khatam al-nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. O lovers of the Prophet, starting home dars does not mean you should abandon other religious activities of Da'wat-e Islami. Rather, continue them as well. For every religious activity has its own importance. If you travel in qafilas, it will increase your passion for home dars. If you fill in the Pious Deeds booklet, piety will develop within you. If you participate in the call to righteousness or give masjid dars or street dars, then through their blessings, the call to righteousness will spread in your area. Therefore, continue and increase other religious activities of Da'wat-e Islami along with the home dars. Respect your parents. Along with performing home dars and other religious activities, respect your parents wholeheartedly. Kiss their hands and feet, especially your mother's feet, as it is narrated, whoever kisses his mother's feet, it is as though he has kissed the threshold of paradise. By doing this, insha'Allah, your parents' love for you will increase. They will feel reassured and realize that their son is in a good place in the religious environment of Da'wat-e Islami. He may have spoken rudely in the past, but now, masha'Allah, he enters the home with a lowered gaze, greets with salam, and kisses our hands and feet. When parents are satisfied with you, they will say, Son, travel in the qafilas, deliver a dars at home, and let us hear the beautiful words of Allah Almighty and His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, every day without fail. The desire for a long life. Dear Islamic brothers, at the start of the speech, you heard the event of the groom who visited Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam. Through the blessing of giving zakat, his life was increased from 6 days to 60 years, and then an additional 10 years were added. Today, many people desire a long life and take many precautions to preserve it. It seems as though no one is ready to die. Even a 100-year-old person wishes to live longer. Instead of asking for prayers for forgiveness, many elderly people request prayers for the removal of poverty and for blessings in their livelihood. Similarly, wealthy people ask for prayers for blessings in their income, even though Allah Almighty has blessed them with abundant wealth. They request prayers such as, May our project be completed, may the building we are constructing be finished, may the work on our house be completed. Such people should reflect on how houses will continue to be built and demolished, but the owner of the house will go into the grave. Therefore, one should seek the palaces of paradise. One eventually finds a place to live in this world. However, if we rent a house, we desire and pray to own it. If we have a small house, we wish for a larger one. Thus, we run after worldly plots and houses and constantly ask for prayers. If only our focus would turn towards the grand palaces of paradise. If only we were granted a portion of paradise for the sake of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The blessing of kindness towards close relatives. O lovers of the Prophet, there is no harm in wishing for a long life with the intention of performing more good deeds. One method of attaining a long life is to treat close relatives well. A hadith states, treating close relatives well increases wealth, fosters mutual love, and extends one's lifespan. From this hadith, we learn that treating relatives well brings blessings in livelihood, strengthens bonds of love, and increases life. Therefore, if a relationship with someone has broken, restore it. Unfortunately, nowadays, close relationships break instantly. If there is an argument between your mother and your aunt, it does not mean that you should fight with your aunt, backbite her, or speak ill of her. Instead, maintain the relationship with your aunt. If you fear the home environment will be disrupted if your mother finds out, then keep the relationship discreetly. Your mother and aunt are sisters. If Allah Almighty wills, they will reconcile. However, you do not have the right to speak ill of your aunt. Remember, your aunt is a blood relative and amongst your maharim. Similarly, if your mother and grandmother have a disagreement, do not sever ties with your grandmother. Likewise, if parents divorce and the mother tells the children to not meet their father, the children must still meet him. Although a woman leaves the marital bond after divorce, the children's relationship with their father remains. This is why, if the father passes away after the divorce, the children are entitled to their share from his inheritance. From this, we learn that even after divorce, the father's rights over his children remain. In such a case, if the mother repeatedly tells her children to break ties with their father, the children must treat their father with kindness. If the children stop meeting their father because of their mother, thereby causing him distress, It is an act of cruelty towards the poor father, and the children are sinful. If the mother becomes upset because the children are maintaining ties with their father, this is not the children causing harm. Rather, the mother is hurting herself. Keep in mind that children should obey their parents in matters that are within the limits of Sharia. If they command something against Sharia, children should not obey it. Take the initiative to restore ties. Dear Islamic brothers, if Allah forbid, you have severed ties with your parents, children, siblings, aunts, uncles, grandparents, or other relatives without a valid Islamic reason, take the initiative and mend ties with them. If you have broken ties for a religious reason, such as the father being a non-Muslim, consult the scholars. Even a non-Muslim father must be treated with kindness within the limits of Sharia, and his permissible commands must be followed. However, commands prohibited by Sharia should not be obeyed. For example, if a non-Muslim father is blind and tells a child to take him to a church, the child should not comply. But if he instructs the child to take him from the church to his home, the child must obey him. Those whose parents are non-Muslims, Allah forbid, should consult the scholars regarding how to treat them. Along with this, they should continue travelling in the qafilas, because this nurtures a passion for gaining religious knowledge, studying religious books, and having a connection with scholars. You will not learn the entirety of Islam in a 3-day qafila, but you will definitely gain some knowledge of Islam, and your interest in reading religious books will grow. The blessing of maintaining family ties. O lovers of the Prophet, how great is the act of treating relatives well. A hadith states, indeed, amongst all good deeds, the reward that comes most swiftly is that of maintaining ties of kinship, to the extent that even if the family members are sinners, maintaining ties amongst themselves brings increase in their wealth and numbers. Suppose, Allah forbid, that parents, siblings, or children do not pray, watch films and dramas, do not observe veiling, listen to music, or shave their beards, meaning they are sinful. Even then, they must be treated with kindness. Dear Islamic brothers, just as maintaining ties brings beautiful results in this world, such as a longer life and blessings in wealth, in the hereafter too, inshallah, it will bring immense reward. Maintaining ties removes poverty. Among the blessings of maintaining family ties is that it removes poverty. As the hadith states, there are no family members who maintain ties with each other and then become destitute. As long as an atmosphere of love exists amongst family members, poverty will not come near them. Today, many people complain about unemployment and poverty, but fail to see the lack of love in their homes. When there are constant disputes between parents and quarrels between siblings, how will poverty be removed? The tragedy is that if a business fails, people usually assume someone has done magic against them. Then they visit practitioners who immediately say that there are effects or blockages. Similarly, if there is conflict at home or a child becomes ill, some think a close relative has done magic. Some foolish people even say, my father has done magic on me, or a father claims the son has done magic on him. Remember, not everyone is a magician. Alhamdulillah, there are also people in society who fear Allah Almighty. Satan will not enter the home. Look, magic is not the only cause of worries. Worries and difficulties also come because of our own shortcomings. For example, a hadith states, when you enter your home, say salam to the family members. Indeed, when one of you says salam whilst entering the house, Satan does not enter that house. Therefore, enter the house by reciting Bismillah and saying salam to the family members so that Satan cannot enter. Similarly, evil jinn live in dirty places and washrooms. To protect ourselves from them, we have been taught this supplication. Bismillahi Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith, i.e. in the name of Allah, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from impurity and the devils. Therefore, recite this supplication before entering the washroom. Insha'Allah, you will be protected from the evil jinn. Nowadays, people have memorized many types of poems and long essays. Some have done an MBA, whilst others have done an MBBS. Some are lawyers, whilst others have different professions. But, alas, many do not remember the supplication for entering the washroom. Even if someone does know it, they do not know it correctly, and they do not find the time to recite it to a scholar or a qari to get it corrected. If you do not recite the supplication when going to the washroom, the jinn inside can cause you trouble. Then you will keep visiting amileen, i.e. practitioners of this field for treatment. Sometimes, even they will not know where this jinn came from. If you recite the supplication and enter the washroom, you will be protected from jinn. In fact, the jinn will not even be able to see your private parts. Because the supplication starts with the words Bismillah, such subject is found in hadith traditions which state that if you open your private parts after reciting Bismillah, the rebellious jinn will not be able to see them. There is no cure for self-inflicted trouble. Dear Islamic brothers, if someone enters the washroom without reciting the supplication and still wants to be safe from the mischief of evil jinn, there is a proverb, Khud karda ra ilaje nist, which means there is no cure for those who bring trouble upon themselves. Understand it like this: if someone keeps banging their head against a wall and also wants it to remain harmless, this cannot happen. Instead, by doing so, there will be physical damage and stitches will also be needed. If one hits the head very hard against the wall, the brain can also come out, resulting in the loss of life. No disease is incurable. Dear Islamic brothers, indeed, only if Allah Almighty wills, amulets and spiritual treatments work. Otherwise, they do not. Similarly, medicine itself has no power. Only if Allah Almighty wills, there is a cure. Otherwise, there is not. Nowadays, doctors treat a patient until they are exhausted and then say there is no cure for this disease. However, such subject is found in hadith traditions. Allah has not sent down any disease for which He has not sent down a cure. Just as some doctors are heard saying that a certain disease has no cure, similarly, when some people are told a religious matter, they say, this is not in any hadith. For such people, the question is, have they gone through every single hadith? Surely not. Therefore, they should say, we have not come across such a hadith. Similarly, doctors should also say, we do not have a treatment for this disease, or doctors have not yet found a cure for this disease. They should never say that there is no cure at all for a certain disease. O devotees of the Prophet, we should treat our relatives with kindness and maintain ties with them. By its blessing, insha'Allah, we will gain many benefits. For encouragement, a few hadith are presented. Maintaining ties of kinship. The merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, maintaining ties of kinship, good character, and treating neighbors well makes cities populated and increases lifespans. Protection from a bad death and calamities. The greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, actions of kind treatment saves one from bad deaths, calamities and destruction. Those who do good in the world, only they will be bestowed with favor in the hereafter too. The first to enter paradise. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, good deeds save one from bad deaths. Giving charity secretly cools the wrath of the Lord Almighty. Treating relatives with kindness is a means of blessing in life. Every kind act is a charity. Those who do good in the world, only they will be bestowed with favor in the hereafter too. Only those who do evil in the world will see evil in the hereafter too. And the first to enter paradise will be those who treat others well. Dear Islamic brothers, connect yourself with the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami, the organization of the devotees of the Prophet. Insha'Allah, you will develop a mindset of maintaining ties of kinship, having good character and treating neighbors kindly. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Three spiritual cures. Number one, whosoever recites Ya Warithu, his life will be long, insha'Allah. Number two, whosoever keeps reciting Ya Quddusu during a journey, insha'Allah, he will stay safe from tiredness. Number three, whosoever is sad and recites Ya Muhaiminu 29 times every day, insha'Allah, his sadness will go away. Also, he will stay safe from calamities and misfortunes, insha'Allah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.